Good morning and welcome in to Genesis Metro Church. Today is not a normal Sunday. You're probably wondering, all these people are wearing matching shirts. Is this every single week around here? No. All right, we just are coming off our Fuse Camp. This is our student camp, 6th through 12th graders. And today, I want to share with you some of the overflow of the life change that occurred at Fuse Camp 2026. Our theme of the year, we always do a theme every year, and this year was a new story. And we didn't just want this to be something that we had for the kids, but I think it's something that I hope when you walk into church that you're looking for a new story. I wonder how many people walked in today looking for a new story. I know that students walked into camp this week. Maybe they didn't know it the first day, but by the last day, they wanted and started a new story. And today, as we celebrate what God has done, I want to share a word with you, one of the words we got to cover in the week of camp. You see, we wanted this to be a week where students understood that there has to be a change for a new story to begin. And with it being the biggest camp yet, 585 students, we knew there was potential for amazing to happen. And with 585 students, I'll tell you, it can get pretty chaotic, all right? Because at camp, you know, there's all kinds of things happening. First of all, there's the camp food, okay, which this year was less than gourmet, all right? I will say that. Less than gourmet. I heard a story of a leader DoorDashing McDonald's chicken nuggets at midnight because the food was that bad. And I was like, man, it's so bad. Like, chicken nuggets are the answer? Like, dang, that's low. That is low. It's a week filled with a bunch of our boys using Bible verses as pickup lines and hoping that their pheromone-scented cologne would help cover up the lack of showering all week. Newsflash, it did not. You think I'm kidding, pheromone cologne, that's a real thing. We had messy rec, where they throw mud at each other basically for an hour, and girls throw the mud at the boys, let them know that they're in love with them, obviously. You know, classic. But there's just so many things like that at Fuse Camp, you know, that we love the fun, we love the chaos, it's a part of the process, but the number one thing that goes first every year is God's word. That we'll have all the fun, we'll have all the creativity, but every single event here at Genesis Metro will start with one thing, and that is God's word. All of our prep, all of our effort will go into how to bring God's word to life for these students to hear. I'll tell you, every Sunday, it's the same thought. How can we get God's word to you in a way that you can hear it and apply it to your life? So without any further ado, are we ready to get into God's word today, church? Let's go. Luke 5. In Luke 5, 17 through 18, it says, on one of those days, right, students? It was one of those days. While Jesus was teaching, a huge crowd had circled around him. And it says that the Lord's power to heal was in him. The Lord's power to heal was in him. We'll get back to that in a second. But just then, some men came carrying on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed. They tried to bring him in and set him down before him. And before we go any further, church, can we agree? Can we agree that things get better when people get to Jesus? Can we agree on that, church? That things get better when people get to Jesus. I don't know if you've been living your life out there. Maybe you're talking with your boss or catching up with a coworker, or maybe you're talking to another parent or watching, you know, someone else's kid, and you're just thinking in your mind, like, man, they need Jesus. They could use some Jesus. I could tell you that right now. You see, I think we sometimes think that. We sometimes see that. And I think the question isn't, is it what's best to get them to Jesus? The question is, what are you willing to do to get them to Jesus, right? How does that thought become action? How does your observation turn into an opportunity to invite someone to Jesus? How does what you see become now what you say? You see, these men saw that their friend had a need. Their paralyzed friend had a need. And their answer was to carry him to Jesus. The question of today's message, the question we asked our students at camp, is do you care enough to carry? As a Christian, do you care enough to carry? You see, the men in the story here, they recognize where the power is, and that gives them the care to carry. When I recognize where the power is, I care enough to carry. It says the Lord's power to heal was in him, was in Jesus. Now, is this saying that the Lord's power to heal wasn't in him and now it is in him? No. But maybe sometimes the Bible says, hey, I need you to remember this part, okay? I need you to listen to this part, that the Lord's power to heal is in the person that is Jesus. It's not in the place, it's in the person. The men recognized that we need to take this man who's paralyzed on the stretcher, not to a place, but to a person. I wonder how many people in here are looking for healing in places instead of the person. That you think the place of reaching that number in the bank account is going to heal the marriage, is going to heal the kids. That you think the place of success in that sport for your student is gonna heal the brokenness inside of them. You see, I think we try to sometimes say the power's in the place. If I can just reach that place, if I can just get to that place, then I'll find what I'm looking for. I'll find the peace I'm looking for. But what if I told you it's not in a place, it's in a person? What would change in your life if you started realizing where the power was? If you started recognizing where the power was? The men in this story, they saw the need. And they said, we have to take this man to Jesus. Then it says they went up, they could not find a way because of the crowd. The crowd was so big, they could not find a way to bring him in. And so they went up on the roof and lowered him on the stretcher through the roof tiles into the middle of the crowd before Jesus. Let's just take a second, these men run into the crowd. I think sometimes, we run into that first obstacle. There's a temptation to turn around. And how crazy would it be? Think about it. They have carried this man, this paralyzed man on a stretcher. Imagine they get to that crowd. They say, you know what? It's not worth it. Let's head back home. Wouldn't that be crazy? Wouldn't it be crazy to do all of that, to put all that effort in, just to turn around and go home when you hit the crowd? But instead of quitting, they went up. They cared enough to keep caring. See, when we care enough, we stop looking for reasons to quit and start finding ways to carry. I don't know if you've ever started the faith journey, but then as soon as you get back around that crowd, or as soon as you get back to the work, or as soon as you hear a great sermon at church, you go to an event, you're like, yes, Jesus, yes. But then, as soon as you hit something, you quit. I wonder how many people have been waiting for you to start caring enough to carry. But because you quit, they haven't got there yet. You see, I think when we start looking at it through a different lens, we start seeing that rooftop as a way to Jesus. Can you just imagine the people in the room for a second? They're in the house. They start seeing these roof tiles just fly off, How crazy would that be? You're sitting there, you're watching, you're just watching Jesus preach. Oh, yes, Jesus is great, good word. All of a sudden, the roof just opens up. You think you're getting attacked by somebody, They start lowering him down because they said to themselves, this is not how the story ends. This is not how the story ends. You see, that crowd represents anything that gets in the way of someone getting to Jesus. Anything that gets in the way of your relationship with God. You see, what if we started saying that about our marriage? That divorce is not the way our story ends. We just need to get to Jesus. That for our kids, this the prodigal child story where we don't know how to quite, you know, get them back on the right track. Maybe you just say this is not how the story ends. We just need to get them to Jesus. What would start happening in your life where instead of quitting, you said to yourself, this is not how the story ends. We need to get to the feet of Jesus. He can provide something that these places cannot. The question is, do you believe it? And does that belief turn into something that makes you act? What if you can have a new story by saying this is not how the story ends? Then it says, seeing their faith. Jesus sees their faith. He says, friend, your sins are forgiven. Wait. I thought this guy was paralyzed, the power to heal. Like, I thought this was going towards, right, this man being able to walk again. But what does Jesus start with? He starts with the inside, not the outside. You see, you may have it together on the outside, but Jesus sees through that. He sees the inside. He says, you brought what you thought was a broken man, but I see a broken soul. And what has to get fixed first is what is broken on the inside. You see, we worry about the physical, but God's worried about the spiritual. And he says, this is what must be healed first. This is what matters the most. The forgiveness of his sins. You see, I think we read the story and think he's paralyzed on the outside, but I read this story, and as long as we're still living in sin, we're paralyzed on the inside. And we're stuck in our brokenness. But thank God for four friends who are willing to carry him to the feet of Jesus. You see, I think we have to start understanding that the people we surround ourselves with matters. Because what if I told you the right four people in your life could make a difference between eternity separated and eternity reunited? That four friends, because they believed that Jesus could, do it, carried this man all this way, found a way despite all of the obstacles and said, we're going to get him to the feet of Jesus, and it changed the man's eternity. Do you have those four people in your life who would say the answer is to get you to Jesus? Or the people you surrounded yourself with telling you to turn around when you hit the crowd? What if I told you it could make a difference in your life which one you have? And the second question is, which friend are you to these people? Are you a friend that says, hey, I hear what you're going through. I see the problems. I know you're struggling. The answer is to get to Jesus. Seeing their faith, like our faithfulness can have an impact on eternity. When we are living in obedience, it can provide opportunity for people to interact with the Creator. Look what happens when we care enough to carry, church. You see, at camp, when we preached this story, we didn't just want it to be something that they knew, but we wanted it to be something that they felt. And so we got all these stretchers, and these kids started carrying their friends down and back on this field. Now, I'll tell you what that does. It goes from having them know the truth to feel the truth. Because when you are carrying someone, it's a different feeling. And when you're being carried, I'll tell you, that's a humbling feeling. What these students started to do is they started praying over their friends, praying life over their friends, praying God's word over their friends, all the small group conversations they had about their struggles and their different obstacles in their life. They started praying over them, praying for them. Siblings saw their other sibling being carried over here and ran across the field to go pray over them in a moment. What I love is that students walked away knowing they have people in their life who are willing to carry, who care enough to carry. But also, the lesson learned, there's a lot of people in these small groups, y'all, okay? It was not fast. Is that as they get tired, next person on, now every step is harder. Every step is more difficult. And now when they get home and they face the crowd. They face the obstacles. It may not be a day that they feel it. It may get difficult. It may grow weary, and it may get tiring, but it's worth it because now they know what it means to carry someone. See, what I love about when we do things like this, I know you're walking in, you're like, what are they talking about? Carry on a stretcher. We do these things creatively because what it allows people to do is see that it's bigger than just God's word, that this is something we can play out in our lives right now. And what I love about when we try to bring this creativity to life, there's always a question, just so you know. It's always a question. Is this gonna work? Is this gonna work? And we say, if we're gonna put God's word first, that we believe God has his hand on it. And what happens is that organic moments start to break out across the field. We saw some students stop carrying and a student just say, I'm ready to accept Christ, and gave her life to Christ right there on that field in a moment. Yes. Another group of ninth grade girls started carrying the stretcher empty. You're like, what? What are they doing over there? Put the person on there, people, okay? And they said, we're caring for the next student walking through the doors. I was like, I wish we planned it that way. I'll tell you what, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I mean, how profound, right? How profound for these students, the next generation that cares enough to carry, to think to themselves, not just for the people here, but for the people back home, that this mission is just getting started. And I think so many times you try to give this generation a hard time, but I'll tell you what, they are ready and willing. They care enough to carry, and they want to see this world changed. The 11th grade boy group, once they finished with their grade, they said, there's more down there. And they went and started helping carry the middle school boys. I'll tell you what, I was a middle school boy once, and every high school boy was the coolest guy ever. So what do you think that moment meant to them? To know that they are not just surrounded by friends in their grade, but they have the boys up in high school looking out for them. You see, these moments start breaking out, and you see that these students understand that it's worth carrying. But I didn't just stop here. After the students stopped carrying all their friends in their small group, they started turning to their leaders and saying, now we're gonna carry you. And some of these leaders were not ready for that moment. They're like, oh, you know, I weigh a little more, you know, than the rest of the people in your group maybe, you know? And I know a lot of leaders, we started talking after, they're like fighting, and I'm like, no. This is for you, this isn't for us, this is for you. And they're like, no, you've carried us all this time. It's time for us to carry you. I don't know how much you know about what our small group leaders do for our students, but every single Wednesday night, our small group leaders show up and create an atmosphere where students can talk about their struggles, talk about how they want to grow closer to God, bond in together, and they facilitate all these conversations week after week. And at camp, it's only elevating. Because I don't know if you've ever spent a week with seventh grade boys in a cabin, okay? But it's pretty close to a hard time, okay? It's tough. It's not meant for everybody, okay? So as they go throughout this week, they deal with shenanigans and constant correction and, hey, don't do that, and hey, don't say that, and whatever else. But then they get to this moment, and all that they've poured in, they said to me, it's worth it. It's worth it. See, the students recognized that if I have been carried, then I should start caring enough to carry others. I wonder how many people have walked into church off an invite and have experienced radical life change and transformation, but it didn't turn into a desire to carry others. It just turned into a consuming Christianity. You see, what if once you were carried, you turned around and said, now it's time for me to carry. Because I know what carrying did for me. And so now I want to do it for every other person that I possibly can. Because I know the most important thing is getting people to Jesus. You see, what happened after that, I didn't tell this story first service, okay? You guys get a little extra here. I was walking around. You know, I'm trying to pick my spots, talk to a kid, pour into a kid, pour into a leader. I got kids crying, I'm holding. I got leaders, grown men crying, I'm holding, you know. And as I'm walking down the line, a group of eighth grade boys stops me. They say, Titus, you get on. Whew. I did not expect that in the moment. We do all this planning and prep because we know what it can do for the lives of the kids, but now they're asking me to get on. And so I'm like, I can't ask them to do it and not do it myself, right? And so I get on. I'll tell you, at first they raised that stretcher and they were wobbly, okay? Wobbly. I was gripping the side of it all of a sudden. I was like, dude, if this is how I go, like, so be it, you know? This is a group of eighth grade boys that all week they had been getting into trouble, okay? All week. Like, did you said that? Why would you ever say that to somebody? You know, like all week we've been, and now this is the group that says they want to carry me. And so, you know, in a moment you don't know, right? You don't know, like, are they going to take this seriously? Are they just doing this, you know, to do this? Like, I got up there, they raised me up, and they started pouring into me. One of the most times I've ever been poured into in my life. Just speaking life into me, thanking me for the sacrifices that I make, thanking me for showing up for them all the time. One kid, he was like, you've been my leader since third grade, you know? But they were just covering me in prayers. And it broke me. Not because, I don't say this story to like, self-aggrandized, but I say it to say, like, when you pour out for the kingdom, you pour out and you pour out, God finds a way of pouring back into you. You see, I think so many times we think we're just pouring out and we're giving, and maybe we're tithing or we're serving or whatever, and we think it's just, you know, it's for God. What if God has a way of turning that into the way to pour back into you? I've heard so many leaders say, I walked into Fuse thinking they needed me. But now I realize I needed this. And I'll tell you, to hear and to see these students say, we want to pour back into our pastor. It speaks to what Fuse has become. It's a movement in young people. And if you have a student here who doesn't attend, we'd love to have you come find out the family that Fuse is. You see, I carry because I had a church who carried me. Because Genesis Metro cares enough to carry. Do we have any witnesses in the room that this church showed up for you at your lowest? That this is a church. This is a place that if you need to be carried, we are here ready and willing to carry you through the season that you're in. I don't know if it's been hard. I don't know if you haven't figured it out. I don't know if you've tried to open all these doors and nothing's working and you don't know how you're gonna pay rent next month, or you don't know how you're gonna help your kid get back on the right track. You don't know how you're gonna fix your marriage. I'll tell you, this is a place where people care enough to carry, and we want to carry you if you let us. I've grown up in this church my whole life. And as a teenager, I was carried. And now I get to turn around and carry as many as I can. I've watched this church 24 years this June. We'll have been in Frisco, Texas, Genesis Metro. Blood, sweat, and tears every year, every single Sunday, every single Wednesday, every single event for the next person and family walking through the door. because we believe the carry is worth the cost. We believe the carry is worth it. You see, throughout this week, students wrote on these pages, and it was responses to what God was doing. They were answering these prompts of what God was doing. And as they wrote throughout the week, they thought they were just writing these pages, you know, it's a new story, it's the whole thing, we're gonna have pages. But we had these books on the stage the whole week. On the last day, we got to reveal it. They were writing the book themselves, that they were writing the story. And let me share with you why we carry. Let me share with you why we see it as worth it to carry each and every single person to Jesus. I think all my friends need me. Just from last night, I saw how broken some people are. I knew things I didn't before, and I need to help carry and encourage them like they have done for me. I need to help them take up their cross and move forward in their faith, and I also need to apply this outside of Fuse in my schools. He wants me to leave behind my doubt and my shame and my longing for someone or something to fulfill me. I need to carry my confidence in him moving forward. I need to start wanting him, not just believe him, but want it. This one's a two-parter, because we're going to see that they walked in with one story and they walked out with a new story. On night two, they wrote, yes, I want to be healed. The question was, do you want to be healed? Yes, I want to be healed, but I think the true question is, am I ready to change? I am comfortable in my life, but I'm scared of the change. I pray that God can help me with that this week. Final response, night four. God is calling me to serve and lead. Throughout my time of shame and hurting, I allowed myself to sit in the sadness, but every time I felt that, there was a voice reminding me of my foundation. Sometimes I would shove that voice down in order to throw myself a pity party. But I truly believe that the voice was God telling me, you have more important things to do. I am called to be a leader and serve others for the glory of God. They were questioning whether or not they really wanted to change. And then they walked out saying, I'm not just changed, but I'm gonna walk out of this room going home to change the students around me, going home to change the family I'm in. And you're telling me it's not worth it? There are 585 more pages of what I could read to you that says every single one is worth it. The question is, do you care enough to carry? What we got to see this past week is no short of something incredible. That there were 204 decisions to follow Christ. And after today, there'll be 182 baptized. The next generation responding to God's word, souls saved forever. It's worth it, church. It's worth it. There's a new story waiting for you, a new story waiting for your family, a new story waiting for your kids, waiting for your marriage. You see, who's carrying the next? I want to celebrate the life change that happened. But as a church, we're always focused on how do we continue to reach the next soul. Is getting people to Jesus something you agree with or something you're willing to live for? What if your kids don't need to see a parent who makes more money, but a parent who makes more time for Jesus? Care enough to carry. It'll come at a cost, but that cost is worth it every time. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you for allowing us to see how you work this week. Thank you for allowing us to witness the life change and response to your word this week. God, what we got to witness out on that field on those stretchers, Lord, was the next generation choosing that you are worthy, that you are enough, and that their friends need some leaders in their life who are willing to speak over them. I lift up all the students in this room today. that getting home now, this is the beginning of something that's forever. For the rest in the room, I pray that you see the carrying as worth it. That you see other people, or even see yourself, see your spouse, see your kids, and say, the answer will always be get them to Jesus. God, I don't know if there's anyone in this room who needs to be carried. God, I pray you use our church and that they can realize that this church is a place where if they would lean in, find a life group, find a place to serve, there are people who care enough, God, to carry them back to you. And God, lastly, I pray that if any of us have been carried and have experienced the transformation of your word, I pray that that inspires us to not be a sideline Christian, but be a Christian who gets in the game because of what we've experienced through your love and through your mercy. God, we love you and praise you in your name. Amen. Let's worship.